Good evening. Good evening. My name is Rohan, and I'm a grateful alcoholic. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for inviting me, Mark. Just give me one moment here. See, on one hand, I'm like nervous to be up here and speak in front of everybody. On the other hand, I love being the center of attention and talking. So, if you can't tell already, I'm an alcoholic. So I was planning on reading pages 83 to 88 to maintain our spiritual condition. Although, upon hearing that we have newcomers in the room and my meditation has kind of led me that we should go elsewhere. And I think we're going to go with more about alcoholism. I don't know where it came from. I guess it must be God, because I had no ideas of that's what I was going to do. And that's on page 30. Okay, and I'll begin reading. Chapter 3. More about alcoholism. Most of us have been unwilling to admit we were real alcoholics. And we'll stop there. It's funny how when you... I've probably read this at least 15 to 20 times. And it's beautiful being able to read a line and then stop and then really digest what it's saying. And this has just been so true for me, you know? All my life, I was not even willing to look at the possibility that I might be an alcoholic, that I might have an issue with addiction, you know? And when I came into the rooms, by the way, I have 2.5 years, I just hit 2.5 years of sobriety, continuous sobriety from all mind, mood altering drugs and alcohol. And I was so bummed when I came into the rooms that I was an alcoholic. I was so bummed. Forget the fact that I'm like, oh, I have to come to AA meetings for the rest of my life. I'm an alcoholic. This sucks. Because I never recognized, like, whenever I heard about AA in my life, it was, you know, through movies or through a friend of a friend who was an alcoholic and was struggling. And I always brushed it off. Like, oh, those are crazy people. I didn't even think that it was a good thing. Like, I didn't know that they were trying to recover. I heard alcoholics, oh, crazy, screwed up people. Nothing to do with me. Right? That's what I thought. And that's why that's what made it so hard to be able for me to come to a point where I was willing to admit that I was a real alcoholic. And it says real alcoholic, right? And to me, and I think it's important to address, a real alcoholic, you know, means I have a disease. That's twofold, right? One being that I have the mental obsession, and two being that if I have just one sip of alcohol, it will trigger the phenomenon of craving. Right? I almost was going to read Doctor's Opinion, which I think I had to read 30 times before I even began to understand what that was talking about. But, and I think this sets up us well for the rest of the chapter, that what I understand those two things to mean is that if I have one sip of alcohol, an allergy is triggered in my physical body, right? That my mind has no control over. And that's what makes me different than someone who's perhaps a heavy drinker. I truly believe there's someone that can potentially drink a fifth, maybe even a handle of vodka a day. But if they wanted to stop, they could stop mentally. Because they mentally want to stop, they can stop. Me, if I have one Bud Light, even if I want to stop, my body is telling me I need to have more. Okay? That's the first part. But then it's like, okay, Rohan, stay abstinent, meaning do not have one sip from any alcohol, any at all. Then you should be good. I should be good, right? If that was the case, I probably wouldn't need to come to AA in the first place. But the issue is that I have a mental obsession. The way my mind works, the fact that I now have this disease, is always trying to convince me that I have some problems in my life that I cannot bear, or some great successes that need to be celebrated with alcohol. So whether I'm sad, happy, angry, mad, frustrated, joyful, my mind with my disease is going to convince me with my own thinking that I need to take that first sip. And that's why we come into the rooms and they tell us, you know, the first drink gets me drunk. That's my disease's only goal. Take that first sip, and then the rest, it doesn't need to do anymore because my body has the allergy. And as I'm sure everyone's in this room, you know, I will go on sprees, binges, blackouts for days, weeks, months, years. You know? Alright, so we've set up a good base layer. Let's continue. No person's like to think he is bodily and mentally different from his fellows. Wow, that's cool. I kind of like, yeah, set that up. You know, I am, and even now, I consider myself a recovered alcoholic, recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. I get like jealous or sometimes mad at my friends, my normal friends, when we're out and they like order a beer and there's a quarter of the beer left. You're going to leave this restaurant with a quarter of that beer left in that cup? What's wrong with you? Why? You know? Like, that's such a waste. And like, you could get... Why did you even drink the first 3/4 of that glass? Right? Like, why? Did you get high from that? No way. You know? I just don't get it. And I don't like to think that I am different than my fellows, but... Excuse me, my normal fellow, normie fellows is what I've heard it been called. So continuing, therefore it is not surprising that our drinking careers have been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people. So this next line is in my top 10. My top 10 is top 10 favorite lines in the big book, right? The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. So this is a really important concept for me to understand, and to understand my past and who I was in my active addiction. Because the truth is, there was like a part of me that knew, like, you know, it was the people pleaser in me growing up. I was the goody goody, right? And I didn't want to do drugs or do alcohol, right? Because the goody goody doesn't do that. But once I had the first sip, the first taste, it was over. And so from then on, it was like always trying to control this, right? And again, like watching my friend with that beer, I would always like observe. Especially as I got older and older, how my friends were, you know, passing exams in school, but also partying with me on the weekends. You know, now they have careers And they can go out Wednesday night for a happy hour. And then Thursday night for a happy hour. Right? But for me, I'm getting hungover. And I can only cure my hangovers with more drinking. And I'm dysfunctional at work. I can't even do anything productive at work. And I'm starting to face the consequences. And I'm just wondering, like, what app do I need to download that's going to help me manage my drinking? Right? What kind of commitment, what kind of stake do I need to put in the ground that says I'm only going to drink Friday and Saturday nights? Like, I was just always so obsessed with how can I manage this? Right? And it's saying here that when Bill writes this, he's saying this is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. And this explains it. Right? And to be honest with you, I still low-key think about this a lot. Right? Especially if my spiritual condition is not up to date. Right? If I forget that this is, you know, a day-at-a-time program, I can start, like, really obsessing that, like, you know, like, I've been sober for 2.5 years, dude. Like, that's so impressive. I'm so healthy. Like, what's one beer gonna do? And it's so weird how that seems so appropriate. Out of nowhere. Out of two and a half years is a quarter of a decade. I counted it yesterday. It's a quarter of a decade. You know, but it doesn't matter. I don't think it matters if I have a quarter of a decade, 40 years, 100 years. This is just a part of my disease for every abnormal drinker. And I'm an abnormal drinker. I do not drink like the normal person. Right? And I will tell you this. Coming to that conclusion that I don't drink like the normal drinker has been one of the greatest acceptances of my life. The greatest. Again, it's not like I don't go back and sometimes wish, you know, I am a human being, but that's why, like, I need to continue coming back to AA, you know, to remind myself, right? I don't think we're going to be talking about it yet, but the built-in forgetter, right? There's a lot of attributes to this disease, like the great obsession and the built-in forgetter. I just forget what it's like. My mind, like, wipes clean what it's like after I take that first drink. You know, that's why I make it a point. I've had, in 2.5 years, I've had so many friends that either, you know, came in the same time as me in this program, or I've seen come in, and they got time with me, you know, stacked up weeks, stacked up months, and then they relapsed. But then they came back. And then I'm like, bro, what happened? And every time it's the same thing. It's like, I just, you know, I wasn't sure if I was an alcoholic, and I was convinced I could have that first drink. That's everyone's story, in one way or the other. I hadn't really heard another story. Right? And if you're truly in all, and to me, like, the relapses are a blessing, because they're the only thing that's going to teach me. Right? In the beginning, when I worked with sponsees, I was trying to convince them, bro, you're an alcoholic. Right? But now, if they communicate to me any doubt that they're an alcoholic, I tell them, all right, go back out there and drink. Do some research. But please, if you're going to go do that research, tell me how to do it successfully. If you can go out there, and I've heard it said before, and I tell my sponsees this, have whatever your favorite drink is, have one glass of it every day for 30 days. Exactly one. No more, no less. Can you do that successfully? Because I can't. After the second day, you know, I like ripping shots. That's who I was. That's what I'll be doing. I like to get high, and I like to get high fast. I don't mess around. So, tell me, how are you going to do that success? And because only experience, you know, only experience really teaches me that. So continuing here, the persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. Makes sense. I've had friends in this program that are dead already. Again, in just my 2.5 years, I have one friend who was recovered with me, and you know, slowly she moved away from the program, and then you know, she just decided that she could have that one drink. Now she's gone. We learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we're like other people or presently may be has to be smashed. Man, this is just so beautifully written. There's 12 steps, and they say that none of these steps have to be done perfectly except the first one. Perfectly is a strong word, but I think people say that to communicate what they're saying here. You know? That if we fully concede to our inner selves that we were alcoholics, amazing things can really happen to us. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. We know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. There is no cure for this disease. Sorry to break the bad news. All of us felt at times that we were regaining control, but such intervals, usually brief, were inevitably followed by still less control, which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. Yeah, man. It's a terrible place to come to, incomprehensible demoralization, but I think that if we can get honest with ourselves, that is the place we're in, it's actually a really beautiful place to be. Because unless I'm incomprehensible, demoralized, I'm not going to want to take a look at what these 12 steps have to say. At least that was my experience, you know. I had to be beaten down coming into AA. And not, yeah, the stuff on the outside had gotten really bad in my life, but very quickly I realized that what's going on the outside doesn't matter. My insides were zilch. I had nothing inside, you know. No integrity, no patience, no love for myself, no hope. You know, AA teaches you how to rebuild that. And when I start rebuilding those things and remain in the center of the triangle, it almost, dare I say, it almost gets hard to take that first drink. You know, when we're taking full measures, it almost gets hard to take that first drink. And that is a miracle. Wow. We are convinced to a man that alcoholics of our type are in the grips of a progressive illness. Over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. Excuse me. So, there is a misconception that I had with this, right? I always have heard that this is a progressive disease, but I always assumed what it meant was is that if I continue drinking, my consequences will get worse and worse, right? If I haven't lost my home, eventually I will. If I haven't lost my wife, eventually I will. If I haven't lost the custody of my children, eventually I will. But that's actually not what it's talking about. That's probably true, but when it's talking about progressive, it means, at least this is what I have learned, and believe it to be true, that my ability to stop drinking gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Right? And I saw this in my own progression, like in the beginning, like I was a weekend party. I was telling Mark this. I loved weekend partying, right? Friday nights, Thursday nights, Friday nights, Saturday nights. That's conducive to the college lifestyle. And for a long time, I could stop on Sunday. I could stop drinking, right? And then what happened was eventually, Sundays were just so miserable that I had to continue drinking and doing other drugs to accompany that drinking. And then eventually I saw myself drinking Mondays and Tuesdays. And then it was like I was drinking pretty much every day of the week. And I couldn't stop myself, right? That's why I was drinking every day of the week. Because when Sunday came around, I couldn't stop. So I had to be drinking Monday. Tuesday's coming. I should stop. I got an exam. I can't, right? And another thing I learned about it, that even though I'm sober today, I don't know if you've ever heard the expression, the disease is out there in the parking lot next to my car doing push-ups. Mine's doing clap push-ups, getting super strong, right? So, which scares the shit out of me, because that means if I go take a drink now, I'll be worse than I ever was back when I was drinking. Which, mentally and logically, it doesn't make sense. Because again, I've been sober for 2.5 years. Doesn't that mean that I've matured, I've grown up, I'm more emotionally intelligent, I have better discipline? Doesn't it mean all those things? What Bill is teaching us, and what the experience of all my friends who have come back from relapses have taught me, is that no, that is not the case. It just gets worse when we go back out there. Am I doing all right? Okay. Good. We are like men who have lost their legs. They never grow new ones. Neither does there appear to be any kind of treatment which will make alcoholics of our kind like other men. We have tried every imaginable remedy. In some instances, there has been brief recovery, followed always by a still worse relapse. Physicians who are familiar with alcoholism would agree there is no such thing as making a normal drinker out of an alcoholic. Science may one day accomplish this, but it hasn't done so yet. So something I want to talk about here, which kind of ties into some of the earlier stuff, and this is a little bit of what I've been taught in my opinion, is that it says, like, it said in the beginning that we needed to admit that we were a real alcoholic. But if you go back to the doctor's opinion at one point, it also talks about, like, being an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. And I believe that hopelessness is a prerequisite. And I didn't really understand what hope or lack of hope was. I heard a speaker tape of someone explaining one. Speaker tapes are amazing, right? I learned so much about my disease and how to improve my solution. And what it explained to me about hopelessness was a man who has hope has an idea of how he's going to solve a problem. He has some faith that he's going to find a solution to his problem, right? If I'm hopeless, That means I have run out of all ideas on how to solve this problem. And even if I have an idea, I know that I have either exhausted it, or I know in my deep core that it's not going to work. And the thing is I also tell my sponsees this, like, dude, if you think that there is a way for you to go back out there and manage this, you can manage your drinking. I'm not saying this to be facetious or play games with you. By all means, go out there and drink. And I say this knowing that, you know, we can go out there, drink, and die. That's alcoholism. But, like, this isn't going to work unless I'm hopeless. I believe that. Right? This is the last stop on the bus route. The very last one. And, because as it says here, like, physicians who are familiar with alcoholism agree there's no such thing as making a normal drinker out of an alcoholic. Right? It's comparing here the normal drinker and the alcoholic. And so if you don't believe you're an alcoholic, that means you believe you might be a normal drinker. And I do believe that normal drinkers, there is a solution out there for them to manage their drinking. Right? But you have to be convinced. That's the only way you're going to accept that, okay, I might have to accept now that I'm an alcoholic because I have tried everything to manage my alcohol intake. You know? It's a beautiful place to be, to surrender, and to be like, I give up. I give up trying to do this on my own now. Continuing, despite all we can say, many who are real alcoholics are not going to believe they're in that class. By every form of self-deception and experimentation, they will try to prove themselves exceptions to the rule, therefore non-alcoholic. If anyone who is showing inability to control his drinking can do the right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to him. Heaven knows we have tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. Here are some of the methods we have tried. Drinking beer only. Limiting the number of drinks. Never drink alone. It's so funny that for me, like, that was my biggest rule. That I drink like a gentleman because I never drink alone. I always drink with my friends. And I always drink in a party setting or for a good reason. And for the life of me, I can't even remember the year where that changed. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I had no idea when it stopped. That moral, that value I had of drinking only with other people, just, it vanished like it never even was a value of mine. And today I truly believe that is just the disease working at its finest, right? That's a thought I have. A thought I have that, okay, I'm only going to drink when I'm around other people. But see, the disease knows that's my thought. That's the cunningness of this disease. It speaks to me in my own voice, right? And it can change that thought and make me believe that, well, it was never changed. That was always the truth. Oh, I drink alone. That's what I do. That's just how we roll. Okay. Oof. Never drinking in the morning. Drinking only at home. Never having it in the house. Never drinking during business hours. Drinking only at parties. Switching from scotch to brandy. Drinking only natural wines. Agreeing to resign if we ever drunk on the job. Taking a trip, not taking a trip. Swearing off forever, with and without a solemn oath. I would, on Sunday nights, after a weekend of drinking, I would, like, wherever I lived, I would go take a walk around my neighborhood, and basically just like take my jacket and scream like, this is it. This is the last day I ever drank. Like just like swearing. Not to God, or I don't know if it was to God because I didn't really believe in God, but I tell you with all my heart, when I would do that, I would really mean it. I would really mean it. Right? But again, I was just drinking that day. The allergy was triggered. Doesn't matter what my mind or mouth says. My body craves the liquor. It needs it. Swearing off forever with and without a solemn oath, taking more physical exercise, reading inspirational books, going to health farms and sanitariums, accepting voluntary commitment to asylums, we could increase the list ad infinitum. We do not like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic, but you can quickly diagnose yourself. Step over to the nearest bar room and try some controlled drinking. Try to drink and stop abruptly. Try it more than once. It will not take long for you to decide. If you're honest with yourself about it, it may be worth a bad case of the jitters if you get full knowledge of your condition. I think that's amazing advice. I really do. Like, if I was sitting here and seriously didn't know that I was alcoholic, the ideal situation would be, all right, I'm going to go do some research and take some notes on it. My problem is, once I have that first drink, I'm going to forget that I was doing any sort of research. And I have to go out there and destroy my life for weeks, months, or years, decades, and come back broken, come back hopeless, right? Knowing that there's no way I can control it. Though there's no way of proving it, we believe that early in our drinking careers, most of us could have stopped drinking. Really? But the difficult is that few alcoholics have enough desire to stop while there's yet time. Exactly. In the beginning, the high was just too great. Right? I just loved getting high. Like, for me, like, being at a party, young, 8 to 10 drinks in with my best friend, beautiful girls around. I literally thought that this was heaven. You know, I got attached to that feeling. I'm like, when drinking stopped being like that way, I was sure that it was going to come back. I was sure I'm just doing something wrong, right? I like how in before, when it was giving us the list of stuff, reading inspirational books. I read so many self-help books because I just thought, like, the problem is I don't have purpose in my life. I need to figure out my why. You know, all this stupid stuff, man. But I was just an alcoholic the whole time. We had heard of a few instances where people who showed definite signs of alcoholism were able to stop for a long period because of an overpowering desire to do so. Here's one. A man of 30 was doing a great deal of spree drinking. He was very nervous in the morning after these bouts and quieted himself with more liquor. He was ambitious to succeed in business, but saw that he would get nowhere if he drank at all. Once he started, he had no control whatever. He made up his mind that until he had been successful in business and had retired, he would not touch another drop. An exceptional man, he remained bone dry for 25 years and retired at the age of 55 after a successful and happy business career. Then he fell victim to a belief which practically every alcoholic has, that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink as other men. I mentioned this before about my 2.5 years. Sometimes I do get thoughts like, wow, 2.5 years? Dude, Rohan, you are amazing. Let's celebrate with some champagne. That is literally the next thought. You know? And This story scares the shit out of me. 25 years he was sober. 25. It's a. I'm talking quarter of a decade. It's a quarter of a century. Right, you got me. I'm 31 years old. That's most of my life that this guy was sober. You know, and then he, rich man, successful businessman, has all the money in the world, gets to enjoy the rest of his life till the day he dies. And he's like, okay, let me take a drink. And then, it says, in 2 months, he was in a hospital, puzzled and humiliated. He tried to regulate his drinking for a while, making several trips to the hospital in the meantime. Then, gathering all his forces, he attempted to stop altogether and found he could not. Every means of solving his problem, which money could buy, was at his disposal. Every attempt failed. Though a robust man at retirement, he went to pieces quickly and he was dead within 4 years. Anyone else get the goosebumps every time they read this story? Wow. You know, this disease is always with us, right? And I was actually resentful when I read this story because it said here that an exceptional man, he remained bone dry for 25 years. Well, damn, I can't do 25 years on my own. Does that make me unexceptional? I wish. I actually truly wanted to get sober on my own and brag about it to everybody that I was able to do it. Right? That I really wanted to do this thing, the sobriety thing, but just without the humility portion. That was my dream. You know? But I couldn't. And it doesn't, you know, there's different versions of it. Some people can't. I have heard of people in rooms who said, like, their ego was big enough that they got 5, 10, 15, whatever years of sobriety put together. But eventually, they needed a solution, and they fell on their knees and came to the big book. Or, like this man, they decided that they could have that one drink, whatever that looked like to them, that they could have it. And many times, and I know singleness of purpose, but I think this is important to mention, from my experience, many of the times for people, they go and relapse on another drug, especially marijuana, right? And that's important to alcoholism because they take that marijuana and then they come back to the drinking very quickly. But the initial logic was, oh, it wasn't, my problem was alcohol, not the weed. But, okay, but now you're drinking again. So how do you explain that? So, this case contains a powerful lesson. Most of us believe that if we remain sober for a long stretch, we could thereafter drink normally. But here's a man who at 55 years found he was just where he left off at 30. We've seen the truth demonstrated again and again. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Commencing to drink after a period of sobriety, we're in a short time as bad as ever. If we're planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind, nor any lurking notion that someday we will be immune to alcohol. Remember my top 10 of my favorite quotes in the big book? This is also in my top 10. I'll read it again. If we're planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind, nor any lurking notion that someday we will be immune to alcohol. Like, I can't buy into the AA program and everything it has to offer and think that when I turn 60 or whatever years amount of old, I can have that drink. That planting of the seed destroys my current sobriety and recovery. I've tried that. I'm telling you, from my first year in program, like, I was doing everything I was told to do, but in the very back of my mind, I was just not really willing to admit that I was an alcoholic. And I was like, one day I always wanted to, like, you know, when I was in my 60s, 70s, go on a farm and just do all the drugs and alcohol to myself. It was always like a little dream of mine. And coming into AA smashed all those hopes, and I was very resentful about it when I first came in. And I had to smash myself of that dream. I had to. Because any lurking notion, you know, I'm going to go back out. Young people may be encouraged by this man's experience to think that they can stop as he did on their own willpower. We doubt if many of them can do it because none will really want to stop, and hardly any of them, because of the peculiar mental twist already required, will find he can win out. Okay. I want to talk about the peculiar mental twist. Because I was recently taught about this. These words didn't mean anything to me. So I'll go in a little bit of a diatribe here. But so I came into the rooms and I learned that, okay, I think I'm addicted to alcohol. Alcohol is my problem. And then people stopped me and said, no, alcohol is not your problem. Actually, alcohol is your solution to the problem. My problem is I don't know how to deal with life, right? And if we want to get more into it, yes, I have a God-sized hole in my heart. But if we're struggling with the idea of God right now, let's just stick with, you know, I can't deal with life. And what that really means is, like, the normal human being, it kind of looks like, let's say we have a can, right? And in our can, we stack emotions, our emotions, right? Happiness, sadness, anger, love, frustration. But then when that can gets full, we can't let it overflow, because then it's too much for us and we go crazy. And the alcoholic, what happens is when we let it overflow, we're like, screw it, screw life. The thing I know best to do is take my drink. And the average, the normal person that's not an alcoholic, you know, when these emotions build up, to reduce them, they can, you know, they can go for a walk outside. They can read a book. They can do a 5 to 10 minute breathing exercise. They can go sit outside in the sun for a little bit. And if they're a normal person, they can even have a glass of wine and it'll reduce the whole emotions thing, right? But if I don't have a solution, right, as an alcoholic, these emotions, they're going to build up. And if I don't take my solution of alcohol or take my solution of what AA provides, the spiritual solution, this buildup of emotions is going to cause my mind to go crazy. It's going to cause this mental twist. And before, when I thought, oh, okay, I can't take a drink because it's going to lead to bad things, then this mental twist, this tornado happens, and then suddenly I'm like, I convince myself that I can have just one drink. I just need to relax. It's not a big deal, right? These guys are telling me one drink gets me drunk. Are they stupid? It takes me at least 20 to 30 drinks to get drunk. Just one. And that peculiar mental twist is what leads me to my first drink, right? So the whole point of me reading this book and going through these 12 steps is really to learn how to prevent myself from getting to that mental twist point, to learn how to become spiritually fit and then, you know, emotionally fit and well too, so that that can of stacked emotions doesn't get overstacked. So again, that's how I learned it, and that's actually been very helpful to me to see how it works. So again, we doubt if any of them can do it because none will really want to stop, and hardly one of them, because of the peculiar mental twist already required, will find he can win out. Several of our crowd, men of 30 or less, had been drinking only a few years, but they found themselves as helpless as those who had been drinking for 20 years. To be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time, nor to take the quantity some of us have. This is particularly true of women. Potential female alcoholics often turn into the real thing and are gone beyond recall in a few years. Certain drinkers who would be greatly insulted if called alcoholics are astonished at their inability to stop. We who are familiar with the symptoms see large number of potential alcoholics among young people everywhere, but try and get them to see it. And that's the thing. Like, you couldn't... I have zero regret I came in at 28. I have zero regret that I, you know, wasted my 20s drinking, because there's nothing you could have do to try and get me to see it. Nothing you could have done, right? My own mother wasn't able to beg and implore me to get sober, right? If I won't listen to her, I'm not going to listen to anyone else, right? Anyways, I wasn't going to listen to anyone, and I needed all my experience. It's very valuable to me today. Very, very valuable. As we look back, we feel we had gone on drinking many years beyond the point where we could quit on our own willpower. If anyone questions whether he has entered this dangerous area, let him try leaving liquor alone for 1 year. If he's a real alcoholic and very far advanced, there is scant chance of success. In the early days of our drinking, we occasionally remained sober for a year or more, becoming serious drinkers again later. Though you may be able to stop for a considerable period, you may yet be a potential alcoholic. This was actually very true for me. I'm going to wrap up here in 5 minutes and open the floor. I had the opposite of experience as many people did during COVID 2020. Many people's like addictions like multiplied and got worse. I was in a situation where I ended up moving to my uncle's in Maryland. And I remember thinking at the time, having no experience with program, that, oh, I feel like I'm kind of like in the wild, away from my normal triggers. This is kind of like a rehab for me. And I actually got considerable period of sobriety. And it gave me this false confidence that I could, that I'm growing up now. I'm maturing. And you know, like, I'm really, like, yes, of course, I was in my 20s and I loved to party, but now I'm older now, I'm mature now, and I guess I don't need to drink as much. Look at how much, you know, time I'm putting together, and I'm talking like a couple of weeks or months, which is very impressive. In fact, to me, it felt like a lifetime being sober for that long. But like it's saying here, that like, again, I was at my uncle's, COVID happened, and all it took was, oh, the rules of COVID are lessening up. Like, I'll go home and visit my parents. Oh, I miss my friends. I haven't seen my friends. What are my friends doing? They're drinking. I miss my friends. What's the best way to enjoy the time? Drink. What did I do? Trigger the allergy. What's happening now? Game over. Any sort of sobriety, over. I'm in a binge again. I'm in a spree again. We think few to whom this book will appeal can stay dry anything like a year. Some will be drunk the day after making their resolutions, most of them within a few weeks. For those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. We are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power to choose whether he will drink or not. That is a mouthful, right? But what it's really saying here is, all right, dude, if you think that you have some power, some willpower, or whatever it is, to control your drinking, then okay, you don't need to do this God thing. You can maybe slide by. That's what it's saying. But if you have come to the point where you have zero power, right, you have zero hope, zero power, zero ideas how you can do this, well, we're going to have to do this God thing. And yes, in the beginning, it's I have to do this God thing. Damn it. Today, it's, wow, I get to do this God thing. Like, it's by far the coolest thing. By far. Nothing comes close. Many of us felt that we had plenty of character. I thought I was the best guy ever. I literally thought I was the most generous dude that was so kind. And now I look back at it, and whenever I was really being selfish or self-centered or being an a-hole, it was really, I concluded in my mind as there was something wrong with that person. They were either weird or, you know, they didn't have emotional intelligence and awareness, and they messed it up, and there's nothing I could have done because I'm a really good guy. I'm a really good guy. Like, my mother tells me so all the time. So there was a tremendous urge to cease forever, yet we found it impossible. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism as we know it. This utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. Yes. I'm going to do this last paragraph and stop. How then shall we help our readers determine to their own satisfaction whether they are one of us? The experiment of quitting for a period of time will be helpful, but we think we can render an even greater service to alcoholic sufferers and perhaps to the medical fraternity. So we shall describe some of the mental states that precede a relapse into drinking, for obviously this is the crux of the problem. What sort of thinking dominates an alcoholic who repeats time after time, the desperate experiment of the first drink? Friends who have reasoned with him after a spree which has brought him to the point of divorce or bankruptcy are mystified when he walks directly into a saloon. Why does he? Of what is he thinking? I would like to stop because we're going to go into the next story. And thank you so much, and the floor is open. All right.